the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want to begin my sermon by doing something I very rarely do. It's called a visual aid. And this is it. Now, you probably can't see it if your eyes are like mine, so here's a bigger picture. And it's a Brazil nut. How many people know what a Brazil nut is? Oh, I'm very encouraged. In Australia, there is a chocolate bar, which of course I would know, which is full of Brazil nuts, and it's called, surprisingly, a Brazil nut bar. The English have a similar chocolate without nuts called a Mars bar with nice caramel in it. I'm telling you this because many years ago in Australia I was speaking with a Baptist missionary who had recently returned from South America. We got into a conversation and I was anxious to know what had moved him to go to South America. So I said, "What made you decide to go to South America as a missionary?" And his instant reply, of course, was, "God called me." So my reply was, "Well, of course God called you, but how did you know it was to South America?" Well, he said, "One night I prayed about it very seriously, about my future, what the Lord wanted me to do, and I asked for his guidance. And when I woke up next morning, I went into the kitchen and there on the table was a Brazil nut bar." So I knew that God wanted me to go to Brazil and preach the gospel. My reply was, "Thank God it wasn't a Mars bar." Thirty years ago, I began my life answering a similar call as an ordained priest in Christ's Holy Catholic Church. Of course, 30 years ago, I never dreamed that I would end up in San Diego, and how wonderful that you all come tonight to rejoice with me here in All Saints San Diego. Saturday, February the 2nd, 1980, was an extremely hot day in Adelaide, South Australia, as it often is at that time of the year of midsummer. I was ordained in the Cathedral of St. Peter, a rather marvellous Victorian building, the same cathedral where I was confirmed many years before. And amongst those who laid hands on me 30 years ago was the bishop who actually confirmed me, then retired, and also the priest who baptised me. I was thrilled not only to be ordained to the priesthood, but to be ordained on the Feast of the Presentation, because it speaks to us of our Lord's offering of himself in the great temple of Jerusalem all those years ago, which is such a wonderful image for any priest. And for any priest, of course, central to this presentation is our Lord's own mother, Mary. Let me set the scene. There are knives and shouting, chanting and singing, hugging and kissing, strange noises and strange smells, yes, the smell of barbecue and the sound of singing and yelling. Now, you might think I'm describing the party after my ordination in Australia, but no, this is the scene in the temple in Jerusalem where Blessed Mary and Joseph have brought the Christ child this very evening, and where they have gathered with others to fulfill the rites and laws of the Jewish faith. There was only one temple, and this was the third to be built by Herod in the year 20 BC. It was a rather grand and wonderful edifice because Herod wanted to make himself popular with the Jewish people, and so he built this rather marvellous temple. But it was not like this church. It was not tidy and clean inside, with beautiful flowers and furnishings, like tonight. No organ, no well-cared-for linen, no altar girl to make sure everything was decent and in order. No, for the temple was a place of animal sacrifice. It was bloody and smelly. We read in St. John's Gospel, on a later occasion when Jesus entered the temple, of people buying and selling animals and money changers, for they had to buy the temple coins. It was quite a business, and our Lord reacted against that. Mary needs to come to the temple today for her purification rites as set down by the law of Moses all those years ago. And Jesus has to come to the temple today also because Jewish law requires him to be consecrated to the Lord. He who is our Redeemer must be redeemed with the temple offering of two pigeons. So money changes hands, the birds are bought, the priest is sought out, the ceremony takes place, and all that needs to be done is done. It might all be done, but it is not finished, for there are two odd people who will not let this moment pass by, Simeon and Anna. These two faithful people loved the temple. Out of their love came prophecies and the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. Simeon enthusiastically proclaims that Jesus, this child, is the Messiah. And Anna cannot stop talking about him. To be a light to lighten the Gentiles, says Simeon. Simeon's song became an Nunc Dimittis, the canticle sung at evensong and compline in the church tradition. The Nunc Dimittis began the ancient ceremony tonight of Candlemas, during which we not only proclaimed Christ as light of the world by music and ceremonies and candles, but we also shared in that light as an acted out prophecy by holding our own blessed candles. In Europe, it is still winter, and Candlemas marks the end of the dark nights. In sunny San Diego, the image and symbolism is not so profound. It is therefore good for us to turn our attention to another part of tonight's story, to another prophecy which is not of light. Simeon turns to Mary and says, "This child is destined for the rise and falling of many, and a sword shall pierce your own soul also." Immediately we are taken to Calvary, where at the foot of the cross, a sword does pierce Mary's soul on that very first Good Friday. Even at this beginning tonight of Jesus' life, his end on the cross already looms large. And so tonight reminds us that our own faith is a mixture of the joy of Candlemas and the sorrow of Calvary, as it must be for all those who will follow this Christ child. And from this moment on, nothing could ever be the same for Mary. 40 days after Jesus is born in a manger made of wood, his mother is being prepared for him to be laid on another bed of wood, the cross. At Candlemas, Mary is there. And at Calvary, Mary will be there. Mary is there at all the significant moments. She is, of course, the mother of our Lord Jesus. And since we, the church, are his body in the world, therefore she must be the mother of the church. But she is also our elder sister in faith. Especially tonight, as she stands with Joseph, wondering what it all means, sharing our wonderment at the mysteries of God, sharing our puzzlement as we go on our pilgrimage through this life. As I come to the altar tonight to celebrate 30 years of priesthood, I too am filled with wonderment, like Mary and Joseph. And with Mary I say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour. For he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name." By contrast, Simeon's words, "to be a light to lighten the Gentiles," really summarise the purpose of the priesthood, and I thank God for the privilege of trying to be a light. To be a light is in fact the purpose of all the baptized children of God. All of us together are called to be this light. So as all of us carried our candles tonight, now it is up to all of us to carry the light of Christ with us. Candlemas bids us hold up that light as surely as we held up our candles in this ancient ceremony. To be a priest is to share in the tradition and ceremonies of the church, and such as Candlemas tonight, and especially if you're an Anglo-Catholic. It is also to share in the joy of this feast, as well as the sorrow from the sword that pierces the soul. And every priest knows both the joy and the sorrow of the priestly ministry. I have had my share of both, like many, and like most priests, I have tried to be faithful in following the example of Mary. My time here at All Saints has brought home to me in a wonderful way the joy and the privilege of being a priest amongst his people. The great joy and privilege of being a priest is, of course, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In offering the Eucharist, the priest tries to imitate and share in the very sacrifice of Christ as we see it on the cross. What a joy and privilege this has been mine for 30 years. Please pray that I will always be faithful like Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.